Hey guys, welcome back to the Armor Still Podcast with my co-host Travis here.
What's up?
Alright, so just some news for you guys today. We are officially on Twitter, so if you would like to follow us on Twitter, I would suggest you go do that. It's at Armored Stealth. And like we also said, we are on iTunes, so subscribe to us on iTunes as well. And you can leave us a comment on Podomatic.com, where we are officially on there. So you can also subscribe with iTunes on there as well. And one more, you can find us on YouTube as well. And we're doing video game commentaries. So, and we haven't done the Gears of War 3 commentary yet, but we'll begin to that. Hopefully, maybe this week. So we'll see. But anyway, this week we're going to be talking about Olympus here. My friend Travis went to go see it, so he's going to discuss a little bit about that. We're also going to talk about Google Glass, which is a huge subject now these days, and a little bit of controversy. And we're also going to talk about The Walking Dead Season 3 that just finished, not this past Sunday, but the last Sunday. So we're going to talk about that, maybe talk about the whole season, maybe see how it was good or if it was not good. So, but why don't we get to it, Travis? So what's up with Olympus? How good of a movie was that?
All right, so I recently went to go see Olympus Has Fallen. It's an action flick. Definitely something guys would like, especially if you like explosions and bullets and those things. It kind of got a little bit of mixed reviews. It wasn't, you know, I'll go ahead and say the story isn't the most creative thing out there. It's about an attack on the White House. North Koreans take the White House. So
how convenient.
Yes. Nice timing. All right. So they end up taking the White House, and this movie is about how this lone Secret Service agent manages to take it back all by himself. So no, it's not believable in that respect, but it was definitely entertaining. I really liked it. The lead agent is Mike Banning, who's played by Gerard Butler. I thought he did a decent job at being a Secret Service agent. It's mostly action packed. It's rated R because of violence and language. Mostly violence. There was quite a bit of blood and head stabbing. People just got stabbed in the heads with like blades a lot. So
yeah, you tell me there was like a lot of stabbing in this head stabbing in this movie.
There were, you know, a decent number of people that got killed by a knife to the head. So it was just it was a little bit strange in that respect, but kind of a little bit satisfying, I guess. Lots of ammunition was spent. A lot of it was CGI, but there was a scene with an AC-130 at the very beginning, which is a really good attention grabber. It enters DC airspace, and before they can shoot it down, they issue it a warning to turn back, and these M-135 miniguns come out both sides and just shoot down both attack aircraft, which were then at that point escorting it. And so they have to, mm-hmm. scramble more fighters. And during that time, it just shoots up the whole DC area. It was really intense and I would say a nice touch.
Did it get destroyed? Or
the AC-130? Yeah, it got destroyed. I guess they kind of got the idea from an AC-130, but there aren't any actual AC-130s that have mini guns on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess it was just kind of a customized AC-130.
And for those of you who don't know, an AC-130 is, you should go play Call of Duty Modern Warfare. Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare, I meant. but no, like we said, AC-130 is pretty much like it's an aircraft that helps out soldiers that are on the ground when they're in need of help, I guess, it's usually used for many more things, but it has like a one minigun and has a what is it, a 40 millimeter shell?
Yeah.
That it uses?
And a 105 millimeter.
Yeah, that's right.
As well. But this version that they use in the movie was purely fictional. It just had four miniguns and two on each side.
That's a lot.
In reality, the minigun wouldn't be able to fire at the ground from both sides because they actually have to tilt the aircraft in order to get a good angle on the ground.
Yeah, and the other miniguns would be pointing straight at the sky.
Right, it would be up in the sky, but... It was just made up for the movie. But anyway, it was pretty cool. There's one scene in the movie. He's looking out the window. He's actually, Mike Banning is kind of a disgraced agent. He was head of the White House security at the beginning of the movie, and they kind of set up the plot that way with an introductory scene where he's head of the White House security. And during a winter trip from Camp David down a rural road, the Beast, which is the presidential limo, skids across some ice on the bridge and breaks through the railing on the bridge. So it's kind of teetering on the brink of the edge there, and this icy river below. And Mike Banning makes the call to cut the president out of the limo and drags him out just before the limo falls over. Unfortunately, the first lady was still in the limo. She was trapped. Her door was jammed, and the other agents couldn't get to her before it fell over the edge. So he kind of took the blame for that. You know, although he did his job by saving the president, you know, and he would have saved the first lady if he could have. But the president had him reassigned to the Treasury because he didn't want to be reminded of his wife's death and that kind of that fateful night. So, so although he did his job, you know, to the best of his ability, I guess he was kind of disgraced a little bit. So he's looking out the window of the Treasury Department where he has a desk job now. And he sees this AC-130, like just going down the National Mall, miniguns strafing everything. And they say that's like one of the highest body counts in a movie ever because civilians, police, agents, everybody was just getting mowed down. They were just firing indiscriminately anything that they could hit in the D.C. area with those miniguns going. Eventually, it did get shot down once the Air Force responded with their fighter jets. But the movie, just lots of action. Even though it wasn't, you know, a really creative, like really new idea, because some people were comparing it to Air Force One, although that didn't take place in the White House, but it was like an attack on the presidential property and you know, a lone guy kind of taking it back. And but I guess, you know, it does have some similarities with that. But a nice thing that I did like, some people didn't like it because they said, oh, that's not realistic. They added a little bit of humor in there. For example, one scene he was helping the president's son, who was still in the White House at the time. He found him and was helping him escape through a ventilation duct. And so he's climbing up and he's like, hold on, because he doesn't want him to make noise because an enemy's approaching. So the son is just like kind of bracing himself inside the duct, and then you see the guy, like the terrorist, stick his head up the duct, look up there, and all of a sudden he gets jerked back, and Mike Banning takes him out hand to hand, and then he peeks up in the duct. He's like, "Sorry, false alarm." Everybody in the theater was laughing at that one, but yeah, they just inserted a little bit of slight humor. There was another where they were getting tortured in the bunker. I think it was the Secretary of Defense. She was like really savagely beaten. And then she's done, she looks to the president and she's like, "How do I look?" And he's like, "You look great." She's got black eyes and everything, blood running down her face.
Oh, man.
But yeah, they added a nice little touch of humor. Although it's not realistic, you know, it's entertaining. I would say it was definitely entertaining. I would buy that from my DVD collection or Blu-ray collection. I thought it was good enough, you know, to purchase a copy. So I would suggest you go see it in the theater. That's about all I have to say. I don't want to spoil anything else.
So on a scale from 1 to 10, what would you give the movie?
Oh, 7, 8 maybe.
7.5 probably. Around there.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe 8. 7.5, right. 8. Yeah.
Well, maybe when you get it on Blu-ray, let me borrow it.
All right, we'll do.
All right, man. I probably want to see that movie. That it sounds pretty good after what you said, man. But why don't we move on to the other topic that we want to talk about, which is Google Glass. A very interesting subject, and there's a lot of controversy about it. I was reading, according to YahooNews.com, or in NBC as well, they gave a report saying that Google Glass can be a really good thing, but then again, it could be a dangerous thing. So, I mean, you could have pedophiles buying this thing, recording them doing nasty things to, you know, kids because they're pedophiles. Or you could have people going into gentlemen's clubs and recording, you know, strippers and all that stuff. You know, a lot of places have already taken action and have said that they do not want this device to be at these certain places. And there was actually this one person, I guess he's the head CEO or the owner of MGM, which is a casino in Las Vegas. And pretty much he said, forget taking these glasses to Las Vegas because you cannot record anything in a casino. They already said when you go into a casino to play, you know, blackjack, craps, or any other game that involves money and all that stuff, you can't take those glasses in there. They're already taking the caution of banning cell phones and other devices that record in those places. I mean, I'm pretty sure you can go into the food place or your hotel and use your cell phone there, but you cannot go into those casinos to play slot machines and all that other stuff, play games. You cannot take those in there because you know, you can record that stuff and, you know, learn how to do it and all this and see how they do stuff. And, you know, you know, it's really more of a, you know, a game of chance, you know, whether you win, it's either you win or you don't. So, and, you know, there's a lot of people who cheat and all that stuff. So they're already taking the caution of banning these glasses there. So, and like I said, you know, pedophiles can find these glasses, you know, useful. But I mean, you know, maybe Google may have a way to do the technology in a different way where, you know, you can't record, you know, stuff, you know, that looks like it's going to be bad. But, you know, I mean, Google Glass, it looks like a cool thing. But, you know, like we said in previous podcasts, if you listen to our podcast before, I think they were working with a sunglass maker to make it look like, you know, they're just sunglasses, and that way, you know, they don't look, you know, like all this technology that's all around your head. You know, if you've seen a picture of it, you know, go look it up. It looks kind of geeky, you know, but if you don't, if you haven't seen it, just go to Google and search it on images and see how kind of geeky it looks. But, you know, if they put it on, you know, some type of sunglasses or just regular glasses, you know, I think it'd be, you know, a cooler thing to, you know, if you want to be stylish, or if you're a stylish person, you know, you could, it could work for you like that. But, you know, like I said, a lot of places are taking precaution of these glasses. You know, hopefully in the future we'll see what'll happen with these glasses. We don't know if they'll be useful or not, because I think they say you can, you know, it's pretty much voice command. So you can, what was the voice command, Travis? Do you know, you remember what it was called?
I don't recall, but I know the voice command feature works, you know, for not only for like placing calls because it's paired with your smartphone, but also for things like, you know, I mean, obviously taking pictures and stuff, you're not going to be, you know, activating it like a real camera. It's going to be all, you know, voice command. So you would say like Google Glass, you know, take a photo or whatever. Yeah. You know, it's something along those lines, and it would do all these things for you based on your voice input. So and another thing, you know, not only just for, it would be bad because of, there's pedophiles out there, but just like stalking in general. I mean, you know, yeah, men, women, just people just following you around or creeping around and just recording you, taking pictures of you. And they can be inconspicuous while they do it. You know, they don't have to hold up a camera. They don't have to.
Oh yeah.
They don't have to hide. They can just walk around and like they're wearing a pair of glasses.
Yeah.
Because they are.
Like, well, yeah. That's very true. Also, going back to like having, you know, a sunglass maker do it. You know, it's cool. It's cool for stylish. But then again, nobody would know that you would be wearing the Google Glass thing because you just it will look like you have regular sunglasses. And you know, let's say you're like a hot girl, or whatever, and you know, there's a guy following you with glasses on, you know, and you might not know that he's recording you through those glasses, you know, because you know, you maybe you're wearing a short skirt or blouse or you know, it, you know, whatever the case, you know, it wouldn't work. You know, the guy would be recording you with the glasses and you wouldn't know that it would be happening. And later, you know, you find out online that a lot of people, you know, you could see your, you know, he was recording your butt or something or whatever, you know. You know, it's, for me, I think it would just be a nasty thing. You know, I don't think it's the right thing.
I think this product just opens a lot of doors to inappropriate activity. There's just a lot of stuff that it allows you to do more secretly than you can do right now, which is just not good.
And actually, one last thing before we move on to The Walking Dead about this product. Another bad thing about this product that it's gonna be a lot of controversy of is going into movie theaters. You know, now that people, if you go, I guess, on Torrent Science or whatever, you see movies like, you know, for instance, what's the latest movie, Travis, on right now?
I do not know.
Well, let's just say, for instance, Evil Dead, the one that just came out this past week. Let's just say that just came out this weekend. Pretty much like about 2 days later, it'll already be on a Torrent site, you know, recorded on a video cam. That, like Travis said, it opens the door to a bunch of things now. So now probably what people are going to do is take those glasses and, you know, record the movie that way. So that way, you know, you can be, you know, inconspicuous and you can, and people won't even see that you can do that. But I mean, why would you wear sunglasses in a movie theater when it's so dark? You know, that's the point. I mean, unless you can see the video that you're recording through your glass, but I mean, I think it would look pretty horrible. You know, you're just sitting there, you know, looking at the movie through sunglasses and you know, your eyes getting, you know, pretty bad. You're going to need real glasses soon. But like, you know, like I said, that's a bad, from our point of view, I think those glasses, you know, it goes either way. They cause trouble or they help you, you know, do stuff. I mean, on the helpful side, it helps you, you know, you can ask it, you know, find me a restaurant. You know, you could just look around and it shows you, it scans the area, I guess, to, you know, find restaurants and all that. You know, and that part, you know, I agree with that. But, you know, maybe if they take the video camera out and the pictures, I think it would be a more better product. You know, because, you know, a bunch of our smartphones, they take camera. You know, they're not professional, you know, cameras anyway. You know, they're only like, 7.9 pixels, 8.9, you know, and you got these other professional cameras that professional photographers use, and they're more professional cameras that you can take a picture with. So I think if they would take the video and the pictures out, that would be a whole better thing for, you know, that would eliminate predator, sex predators, you know, stalkers, casinos would be much more happy, I would say. And, pedophiles wouldn't even, they wouldn't even use it. And, you know, that would probably be the ideal thing. I think it would be better just to be used for, like, you know, finding, you know, restaurants, directions, you know, helpful stuff that would, you know, it would be used to use, you know. So Travis, what do you think of Google Glass, all in all?
All in all, it is an exciting new piece of technology, and I could see how all of those things, features could be helpful and just neat to, you know, to try out, to use. But I think there's just too many ways that could be abused, mm-hmm. like we mentioned. And so I think Google might need to just take into consideration, those factors that, that it could be used, misused, I should say.
Yeah, misused and abused. So, but if you'd like to find more information, just go to Google. I guess the website's called googleglass.com. Or just go to Google and type in Google Glass, and you know, you can find all the information on there. So, but all right, let's move on to our last subject that you want to talk about. Very interesting. The Walking Dead Season 3. You know, me and Travis, we love this show. It's one of our favorite. It's actually one of the shows that I watch on TV. I don't really watch TV at all, but it's one of the shows that really got me interested, and it was, you know, driving. So, but, you know, me and Travis love the show. So, let's talk about it. So, Travis, what did you think of the Season 3?
Season 3. I wouldn't say that it was one of my favorite seasons, although I did really enjoy the episode Clear. I think it may have been episode 12, but don't quote me on that. But I thought that was a really good episode. Probably the best episode I've, you know, so far, in my opinion. That's my opinion. But it was just really well put together. I know that, you know, that doesn't really encompass like the whole series or the season, but just speaking on that episode alone, I really liked the hitchhiker that they had in there, and
yeah,
and
who didn't make it.
Yeah, spoiler alert. Yeah, and they, you know, they saw him at the beginning, and then at the end, you know, they see what's left of him.
Yeah,
and they pick up his backpack. So it was just kind of a nice touch, I would say.
Well, it was also kind of a way of saying that, you know, Rick, you know, he doesn't, you know, he's like that type of guy where he's like, look, I care about my people. I don't care about anybody else. You know, this is my people. But, you know,
but I might want to add that changes at the end, though, in the last episode.
Yeah,
that does change.
Yeah. It's a huge change at the end. And, you know, I'll have to agree with Travis. It is, I think, I mean, my favorite episode still is the very first episode from season one, which is called These Days Gone By. But, you know, Clear was probably another good episode, because I remember when I was watching the episode, I mean, well, before it aired, Bear McGregory, who does the who composed the music for the show, he said before, you know, the show came on, he said, I think you guys are gonna be very happy to see this episode tonight. And I was like, uh-oh, see what that's about. And then, you know, when what was it, Carl, you know, which is my name, he shot that guy, I was like, I wonder who this is. And then once we saw it was Morgan, I was like, oh, no way. I wasn't like jumping up for joy or anything, but I was just like in shock. I was like, you know, everybody was awaiting his arrival, his return, you know, what had happened to him. You know, we hadn't seen him since episode one. I mean, he was pretty much only in episode one. We never saw him ever again until Clear, the episode Clear. And even after the episode, Robert Kirkman, the creator of Walking Dead in the comic books, he tweeted out on his Twitter account, he tweeted out that for the East Coast that hadn't seen the show because they're 3 hours behind, he told them not to even look, he told them not to even watch it yet until they get to 9 o'clock Eastern time to watch the episode. So I thought that was pretty funny. But speaking about other episodes, a lot happened this season. We saw T-Dog, you know, die. He got eaten because he was trying to save Carol, but, you know, she survived, which was a good thing.
Right, but we didn't know she survived for
about, I think, two episodes. I think, yeah. So, oh, just to say, if you have not seen a lot of these episodes, do not listen right now. But
yeah,
for
should have said that earlier.
Yeah, sorry.
This is a spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert, what we're talking about. But I'm pretty sure a lot of people have seen this episode. I'm pretty sure, but just for some of you people who haven't. But going back to what happened this season, like I said, we saw T-Dog die. What other character did we see leave? Or
leave.
You know, didn't make it?
Merle.
Yeah, we saw Merle.
The return of Merle and this season. And we also saw
the death of Merle. Yeah,
You know, the very last episode. And while we're on the subject of Merle, I would say that was one of the highlights. That might not be the best word, but it was one of the highlights of the season finale. Is Merle's not so much his death, but his action before he died. He was always so erratic, so mm-hmm. unpredictable.
Yep.
And so I don't know. He was never really tight with the group, I would say.
Yeah.
But then at the end, he sacrifices himself for the good of the group.
Yeah.
And not, you know, not like the governor's group or anything like that. Like the group he started with.
Yeah. And also for his brother.
Right, for his brother too. But I think it all kind of comes down to some of the things they were saying earlier in that season. Or not that season, that episode even. When he was talking to Carol and was saying, you know, you really developed into one of the group. You know, before she was kind of timid, she was scared. You know, that's back when her husband was still there. That's what Merle remembers, because that was season one.
Yeah, season one.
And, you know, she couldn't handle herself. She couldn't handle a gun. She was just along for for protection, and basically. But now they're all combat hardened. They've all lived through a whole lot.
Oh, yeah.
And they can all handle themselves.
Oh, yeah.
And
we saw a lot of that this season.
Right. And, so, you know, he notices that he recognizes that she's no longer scared like she used to be. They're all pretty much, they've been tested. They've been, it's like trial by fire, basically. They've all experienced the worst of humanity, of just, you know, the walkers. They've all gone through a lot, and now they're experienced.
Yeah.
So he recognizes that in her and says, I guess you were a late bloomer, you know, because it took her a while to get to that point, whereas some of the others, you know, were already kind of hardened from the get-go. But and she turns to him and says this curious statement, maybe you are too. And I thought about that for a while. You know, what does that mean? He's already a tough guy. You know,
yeah,
he can already handle himself, and he always could. I mean, he was shooting walkers from the first season, so
while taking coke,
yeah,
sniffing it. I mean,
and but then once you see what he does at the end for the good of the group, I realize what, you know, what she meant. She didn't mean, you know, that he was battle hardened or a tough guy or something like that. That he was finally, you know, getting his wits about him or whatever. She meant maybe he's a late bloomer in becoming one of them.
Yeah.
You know, he's already a tough guy, but he was never really tight with him. But when he sacrifices himself at the end, he really became one of them. He gave them a chance, a fighting chance, by eliminating a bunch of the enemy, the governor's men, before they attacked. So and he ended up sacrificing himself, but
and his fingers got bit off too.
Yeah.
Which was
disgusting.
Yeah, it was disgusting.
And it wasn't by a walker either.
we also saw you know, Michonne during the first half of the season, well, in all the seasons as well, but we saw Michonne. You know, and she was, you know, she was a badass throughout this whole season, because, you know, the way she, I love how they use a sword in this type of apocalypse, because, you know, I think a sword is more effective than, you know, a gun. You know, a gun, you have, you know, so many bullets, and, you know, there's a time limit on that, and, you know, you don't know when it's going to run out, because you're going to be running out of bullets soon, and what are you going to do? So, I mean, you know, weapons like that, a sword or, like, an axe or all that stuff, that would be good. But, I mean, you know, then again, if you're, like, if a horde comes your way, you know, the best thing to do is run. You know, there's no way to tackle right. on a horde,
right.
you know. But, you know, for a few walkers, a sword is probably the most effective. You know, you can sharpen that thing, you know, and still use. You can have a bunch of them and just, you know, have your own way with it. You know, knives are pretty, throwing knives would be a good thing in the apocalypse too as well.
Mm-hmm.
But get it back on the subject of Michonne. Yeah, she did a lot this season. You know, she saved Andrea from season finale of season two.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they were together. And pretty much, actually, if not a lot of you know, from season two, season three, episode one, that was actually a year later, pretty much.
Right.
So if you guys didn't know that, it was a year later. So pretty much this, I don't know how much time before it was before that. I think it was probably a month or 2 months, maybe, when Rick finally found his, you know, wife and son. And I don't know how long it was before that when the, when all this apocalypse started. So, but like I said, it, between that, it was a year, that Andrea hadn't found her with a group until, you know, later they found themselves with a group. So, you know, Michonne and Andrea, you know, they, you know, help each other, and then, you know, they find, you know, the governor in his hometown, which is called the Woodbury, a place, I guess. And, you know, they find out, you know, they think he's a good guy at first, but, you know, in reality, he's not. If you read the comic books, he was a worse guy in the comic books than, you know, in the show. But, like I said, a lot of people, I was reading a lot of tweets, and a lot of people said that the first half of the season was really good, but then on the second half of the season, it started to, like, slow down and get a little bit boring. I mean, there was boring episodes, like the one where it was Rick talking to the governor. That, for me, I think that was a boring episode. A lot of people want to see action, but, you know, there has to be story as well. But, you know, for me, all in all, I think the season was okay. For me, the final episode was a letdown for me and a disappointment. A lot of people didn't like it as well as it should have been. You know, they wanted to see the governor die. They wanted to see him be eaten by the walkers. They wanted to see him suffer. But as you saw, he pretty much killed his own. He kind of betrayed his own team that he had. So, you know, we'll see what happens in episode one of season four. They confirmed that it's already being going on, but they said that they haven't been filming yet, so that's why we didn't see like any episodes. You know,
we didn't see a preview.
Yeah, we didn't see a preview of season four, what it was going to be. So, you know, we'll probably start seeing previews around maybe like around July, maybe. Around that time, because you know that, you know, the episodes start and, you know, they're like in hot places, so you know it's kind of, you know, right, they do it in the summer. But anyway, but yeah, like, you know, they're not gonna be they're gonna be filming it this summer is pretty much what they said. I know I think his name is Rick Chandler, who does Carl. He said on Twitter that he was gonna that he can't wait to get started on season four. So but yeah, man, Travis, would you know, season three, on a scale from 1 to 10, what would you give it?
I would probably give it a 7, probably. I'd say a 7.
Yeah, I'm with you right there. 7, I think it would probably be good.
Yeah, I was pretty satisfied with the ending, though. They wrapped up a lot of things. Well, I mean, you know, as it should be, because it's a season finale. But, you know, sometimes they don't always wrap up a lot of things because they want you to tune in for the next season, so they'll leave you hanging or something. But, you know, I think they did a really good job. I know a lot of people probably wanted to see the governor die, but I thought the fate of the governor was kind of appropriate. You know, maybe I'm the oddball there in that I wasn't bloodthirsty enough to want to see him die. You know, he did do a lot of horrible things, and he probably deserves to die. But if you think about it, he lost everything he has worked for years. You know, he lost his town. He killed most of his people just because he had, like, some kind of breakdown at the end. I don't know what that was, but he just started mowing him down with his rifle.
I guess he was mad because they didn't kill the, you know, Rick's group, and
right,
they didn't do anything.
But I mean, what he did certainly didn't help the situation.
It's like at that, I don't know if you remember, but when the people were yelling at him, like, we were getting slaughtered or whatever, and he was just right there, and the camera zooms in on him, you can see the rage building up, and then he goes, and, you know, he just pretty much mows him down.
And they should have killed him right there. I mean, there was the one guy who, like, aims his assault rifle at him, you know, to get him to stop. And the governor kind of pauses for a moment, and then he pulls out his pistol and shoots the guy dead right there and continues to shoot down the rest of them, except for his top two lieutenants, who surprisingly didn't kill him either. They kind of just retreated to the truck and were, I mean, you could tell they were kind of nervous.
Yeah, they were a little afraid.
You know, yeah, I mean, they could have been next, and I'm surprised he didn't kill them too, but I guess, you know, he needs some loyalty.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, I would have been freaked out if I was one of his top two lieutenants. I would have been like, I better take him out because he's about to kill us next.
Yeah.
They should have shot him in the back of the head right there, but they didn't. And eventually he got in the truck and he was like, motioned for them to get in. And surprisingly, they got in the truck with him too. I mean, I don't know where they went. You know, probably nobody knows where they went, but they couldn't go back to Woodbury. I mean, there wasn't really any much left in Woodbury. I mean, all the people who were able to fight, he shot them all up, and if they weren't killed at the prison. And so it was like old people and children left. And Rick did the smart thing by taking them in to the prison. And I think the reason they took them to the prison instead of moving everybody to Woodbury is kind of twofold. I would say the prison is a more defendable location. You know, it's got these fences and stuff that are already in place. You know, although it was just attacked and their guard towers are blown up, but you know, it's already got like a courtyard where they can go outside. Whereas Woodbury, they had all those structures and they got the walls, but the walls were all kind of put into place later. So it seems, in my opinion, it's probably not as secure. Plus you got all the locking doors of the prison. You can compartmentalize things. If one part is overrun, they can retreat to a different part and lock the doors, you know, to a different cell block. So although it's not as nice, you know, all those people are probably used to living in, you know, oh, this is just like home. You know, we got a nice little town here. Yeah. We got houses but you know, they can always go back to Woodbury. You know, Rick can make a run over there and get supplies or whatever they need, more guns, whatever. And, you know, I'm glad that he did the right thing and took in those people. You know, before he was always like, no, if they're not one of us, you know, we don't take them in. And even Michonne, he was like, we'll patch you up and you're gone. But she turned out to be one of them.
Yeah.
And I like how they portrayed her. She was combat hardened, but she had a soft side too, especially you could see during Andrea's death, you know, she was tearing up
spoiler alert.
Yeah, they did spend like what, a year together,
pretty much
almost a year.
Yeah.
And so it was a good character that they had going there. And
A lot of people loved her in the comic books. They really love her character.
I'm glad that that it all came together. She became one of them, and I'm glad they didn't give her up. I was kind of a little bit nervous going there.
Yeah, Rick decided not to give her up, so I'm glad he made that decision.
Yeah, because he was thinking about it. But the whole time that they were debating on what, you know, deciding on whether or not to give her up, I was thinking of, I was kind of thinking of in movies and shows and stuff where terrorists and stuff are threatening like the government, and they give them like an ultimatum, and it's like either you cooperate with us or we're gonna attack you or whatever.
Yeah.
So I kept going back to this kind of terrorist mentality when I thought of the governor's deal that he issued. And I kept thinking of the U.S.'s policy not to negotiate with terrorists. And I think that's kind of the best policy, you know, whether it's a terrorist or whether it's Rick dealing with the governor.
Yeah.
Because he essentially is a terrorist. You know, I guess there's kind of it's a different world, but his ideals are kind of the same mentality there. And you give in, you know, if Rick was to give in and give him Michonne, he really has no guarantee that that they were going to, you know, that the governor was going to, you know, live up to his deal. And he really wasn't, because as we could see in this, or in the one scene where he said, you know, when they bring Michonne over, kill the rest of them and bring Michonne alive.
Yeah.
And he was essentially going to torture her for killing his Walker daughter.
Yeah, and so, his eye.
Yeah, and his eye. Killing his eye.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, this season, there, you know, a lot happened. And, you know, like Travis said, a lot of, you know, the governor, he, you know, he in a zombie apocalypse, you do not want to follow a person like that. You know, you just want to be with your group. You know, for me, I'd probably just be with my family and just protect them, you know, and not listen to anybody else because, you know, we don't need, you know.
Speaking of family, I'm glad it worked out for those, that other group that, Rick chased him out of the prison when he had his little rant.
Yeah.
And they went and joined the Woodbury town. And then there were the two, or there was like the white guy and his son went out to the attack. But the other half of the group stayed stayed in the town to defend the women and children, right?
Yeah.
And I'm glad they did that because, for one thing, it showed their true nature, you know, that they're not killers.
Yeah.
And number two, it left him alive to go join the group at the end. So, you know, I'm really glad that all worked out. And I just want to talk briefly, I know we're running out of time, but talk briefly about Carl at the end when he shot the kid. What do you think about that?
I thought that was gruesome. It was really gruesome, man, because a lot of people said that he just killed, you know, it's killed without remorse, and, you know, he wanted to protect his family, but, you know, a lot of people call Herschel tattletale because he was like, you know, your son, you know, he told Rick, your son shot him without remorse, even though he gave up the other guy, but he still shot him, and that made everybody see that he, you know, Carl could be a future governor, you know, dude, but, you know, he probably won't, but we'll see what unfolds. You know, we'll see what unfolds, but it was a gruesome.
That was the one part of the ending, I guess, that we just kind of stood out. Like, it wasn't everything else, you know, kind of fell into place. Like, okay, everything's working out their way, but except for that one part where he shoots the kid who's handing over his shotgun. And, you know, he was a pretty young kid too.
Yeah.
And he was surrendering and Carl shoots him in the head, and it just, I don't know. It didn't sit right with me, you know?
Yeah.
He was essentially shooting an unarmed person. And as Rick's son, you know, that's not right. I mean, I'm glad Herschel told him because, you know, as his father, he needs to, you know, it's like you got to discipline your kids.
Yeah.
And I know that's a pretty big thing to, you know, shooting somebody and killing them is a pretty big thing that needs disciplining. But, you know, the world's different in this show. And, you know,
there's not much discipline in this world.
Yeah. And I guess, you know, at that age, it's not uncommon for them to be
the way
shooting
they are.
Other people, yeah. And shooting things just because of the situation. But
yeah.
I think that's about all the time we have, right?
Yeah. Well, as much as we like talking about The Walking Dead, we'll probably might have to leave it for another time. Mm-hmm. But all right, guys. Yeah. We're out of time. We're gonna go ahead because we got some workout we gotta do. We gotta do some bench presses and push ups and pull ups and everything, all this stuff. So. But other than that, we would just like to remind you again, guys, that we are on Twitter. So, you know, follow us on at Armored Stealth on Twitter. And like I said, again, we are officially on iTunes. So subscribe to us on iTunes. You know, leave a comment on there. You can leave a comment on Podomatic as well, where we are officially on. And there is a subscribe with iTunes there. And lastly, but not least, we are on YouTube, where we first started, so you can go on YouTube, subscribe to us there, and watch our videos that we have on there, and we'll begin today Gears of War 3 cooperative play, hopefully this week, But, you know, that's all the time we have, guys. You know, search us on there. You know, leave us a comment. And, you know, we will see you guys next week.
Bye-bye.